We take a look at how God teaches us the proper way to deal justice and to deal with the needy people. He says that they point out that various needy groups are the recipients of justice. These groups include widows, orphans, resident aliens, sometimes in the Bible called sojourners, sometimes called strangers. Again, we sometimes call them aliens. We sometimes call them immigrants. Needy groups that should be the recipients of justice include widows, orphans, resident aliens, wage earners, the poor and prisoners, slaves and the sick. Let's take a look at Psalm 146. Psalm 146, and let's look at verses 7 through 9. We're almost at the end of Psalm here. There are 150 Psalms, and we're going to Psalm 146. And we're going to see what else God is saying to us about justice. He speaks about justice so much. And again, not from the perspective that so many of us who love him speak about it. Our primary focus is punishment, making life, just being tough on people. God's primary focus is helping people obtain what they need to do well in life. 146, Psalm 146, beginning at verse 7. Well, let's begin at verse 5 to make it clear that we are talking about God. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. He upholds, verse 7 begins, the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates the ways of the wicked. Even if that's not until we get to the end time, or even at the start of and the continuation of the millennial reign, and then eventually eternity, he will frustrate the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. So often he talks about what he wants us to do for the needy, because it's what he would do if he were here. Each of these groups has specific needs which keep its members from being able to participate in aspects of the life of their community. Even life itself might be threatened. Justice involves meeting those needs. Remember Webster defining justice as righteousness, equitableness, or moral rightness. Righteousness, equitableness. And they're telling us now that these people with their specific needs are to have their specific needs met, because justice involves meeting those needs. The forces which deprive people of what is basic for community life are condemned as oppression. Let's listen to Micah 2 and 2. The forces, systems put into place by people who want it to be this way. Woe to those who plan iniquity, to those who plot evil on their beds. At morning's light, they carry it out because it is in their power to do it. They covet fields and seize them, and houses and take them. They defraud a man of his home, a fellow man of his inheritance. God considers that oppression, and you need to know he will punish that. Therefore, the Lord says in verse 3, I am planning disaster against this people, from which you cannot save yourselves. You will no longer walk proudly, for it will be a time of calamity. So often, when people think about justice, they start thinking about punishment. And when they start thinking about punishment, they start thinking about poor people. They start seeing certain skin colors, and they start seeing in their mind certain classes of people, and they think they equate justice with punishment. And they're happy about that thought because of who they see as being on the receiving end of punishment. But you got to know that poor people are not the only ones who can be punished. God can punish any of us regardless of class, regardless of color. And he looks at what we do, even to those who are especially poor, needy, oppressed, whether it has to do with their wages or anything else. And he says, look, I'm watching you, and I'm going to deal with you eventually. In Holmes, they say that to oppress is to use power for one's own advantage and depriving others of their basic rights in the community. Now remember, justice, as defined by Webster's, righteousness and equitableness. Holmes is telling us that the forces to oppress, rather, is to use power for one's own advantage and depriving others of their basic rights in the community. Oppression, having to do with two things happening at one time, pushing other people down so that we can push ourselves up, making other people small so that we can make ourselves great. Mark 12 and 40, the Lord Jesus talked about some of the religious leaders of Israel, the teachers of the law, the scribe, and he talked about how they devoured widows' houses and for a show made lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely. That's one of the punishments that, again, a lot of people don't think about, the punishment that the oppressors will receive for oppressing. To do justice is to correct that abuse and to meet those needs. When we come back, let's take a look at what Isaiah says about that. Correcting the abuses and meeting the needs of those in need. If we give each other love, oh yeah.